Welcome to our service for the 13th Sunday after Trinity. We continue our reflections in Romans chapter 12. Last week, we looked at the new Christians' thinking about how they should worship now. This week, we look at some aspects of how they are now to behave. Be ardent in the Spirit, writes St. Paul. We begin with one of the great invocations of the Holy Spirit from our hymnody, which prays for that ardour. Come down, O love divine, seek thou this soul of mine, and visit it with thine own ardour glowing. Now it's time for our confession. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us, and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness, and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A collect for the 13th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 15, beginning at verse 15. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly you are to me like a deceitful book, like waters that fail. Therefore thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Up and follow thee. The second reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May the words that I speak and the meditation of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. St. Paul's letter to the Romans is, of course, one of his longest, and it's organised into different sections. At the end of chapter 11, there is what we call a doxology, a gloria, such as we sometimes used to say at the end of the Psalms in Evensong. From him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory for ever. Amen, this one says. So clearly, at the end of chapter 11, a section of Paul's letter to the Romans has come to an end. In the preceding chapters, the Apostle has laid out his vision of God's great scheme of salvation. Especially, he set out how a relationship with God is now possible for Gentiles, like most of the people in the city to which he's writing. They too can be reconciled by the love of God in Christ. Previously, they seemed to have been excluded, but now they can take hold, through faith in Christ, of the wholeness of salvation. From chapter 12 onwards, Paul will deal with what our response should be to this wonderful new relationship with God. We saw last week that the first question for the new church was how they would worship now. How will we replace the sacrifice of dead animals with the living sacrifice of our very selves? A sacrifice which touches every aspect of how we live our lives, how we do our work, how we conduct our relationships, how we speak to one another, how we relate to power and authority, how we spend our time, how we use our wealth and our possessions. Last, perhaps, but for Paul by no means least, it's a matter of what we think about, the focus of our minds and our imaginations. Set your minds on things which are above, he says, where Christ is. In the second half of chapter 12 of Romans, our New Testament portion set for today, Paul goes into greater detail about the qualities which are to mark out how Christians live their lives. As we've shared before, the new Christian community needed to work out afresh what sort of moral principles its members should live by. Those who had been Jews before they became Christians were not simply Jews anymore. Those who had been pagans were no longer pagans. And neither group could automatically assume that the way they'd lived before was the way they should live now. The different faiths from which they came had looked at the world in very different ways, leading to very different patterns of behaviour. So how should they live now? How should they think and speak and act in this new morning of faith to which they had been awakened? We cannot too often be reminded that the first and paramount quality which is to mark out the new Christian community is love. Let love be genuine, writes St. Paul. In another place, St. Peter writes, above all, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. You can see at once how this love needs to begin within the Christian fellowship. Here they are, from very different backgrounds, having lived very different lives. They will sometimes have questions about how their new Christian brothers and sisters behave, but they've all experienced the love of Christ. If they are to remain, as Paul says they must, the expression of Christ's presence now on earth, the very body of Christ, it will only be possible if they have genuine love for one another, covering the differences between them. This is, and should be, a perpetual challenge to us. What is the first thing that comes to people's minds when they think about the church? When they look at our church fellowship, any church fellowship, what's the first quality that they recognise? Of course, we know too well that there are prejudiced views of our community held by those outside it who don't know it, which bear no relation to the love which we experience in the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. Nonetheless, it is the first quality the Apostle emphasises, and he emphasises it by repetition. Let love be genuine. Love one another with mutual affection. If that is not what people see when they look at a church, then there's something fundamentally wrong. Paul himself, of course, knew what it was to be subjected to prejudiced misunderstanding. Indeed, his writing is often subject to it still today. But it is to Paul that we owe the wonderful hymn to love in 1 Corinthians 13, which you'll still hear read so often at weddings and funerals. It's to him that we owe the idea that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, that love never ends. The new Christians would be marked out, of course, by their newfound faith and by the hope that they now had of salvation in Christ. But above all, they were a community founded on the love of God, and they were to express his love in their relationships with one another and to share his love with everyone with whom they came into contact. Faith, hope, and love, wrote Paul, these three abide, but the greatest of these is love. By this shall everyone know that you are my disciples, said Jesus, that you have love for one another. The verses that follow are a treasury for anyone who wants to understand how Christians are to behave in response to the love of Christ which they've received. We can only look at one or two today. In particular, there are verses here which are very pertinent to the work of Christian ministry, whether the ministry of ordained clergy or Christian lay people. I remember the first time that I had to say goodbye to a ministerial colleague who was moving on to a new parish. I was preaching that morning, and as it happened, this passage from Romans 12 was set in the lectionary. So I spoke about the words of Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. These words are often a challenge to the minister, sometimes a rebuke, but always a reminder that a minister is a servant and that ministry is fundamentally a matter of service to the Lord. It's often hard work, and there are few of us who manage never to flag in zeal. But however hard you work at it, ministry will only achieve anything if it comes from the heart through the indwelling of the Spirit. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Further on in the chapter, consider as a reminder to Christian ministers, lay and ordained, Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. We had a lovely service at Pembrin 3 weeks ago where we rejoiced with the family of little Violet, as she was baptized into membership of the Church of Christ. It was a joy for all of us to share in the family's joy at the beginning of that new life. Tomorrow, though, we shall join the family of Giles Hutton for the interment of his ashes in Pembrin Churchyard, as we did last week for the family of Joan Draper. The Apostle wants to make clear that it is absolutely essential that the Christian Church is a place and a community where both those reactions are given space, where both grief and joy are welcomed and shared and ministered to. This is true not least, of course, because they are in one sense one and the same. You could have a world without the grief of weeping, if you would be content with a world without the joy of love. But we all know that we would be immeasurably the poorer for it. It is fundamental to the Christian understanding of our God of love that our Lord Jesus Christ, who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man who wept with Martha and Mary at the grave of their brother, his friend Lazarus, but who ultimately turned their lamentation into dancing. He calls us to bear the responsibility on his behalf and in his name of sharing in the joys and griefs of our neighbours and of each other. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. But as it was for Mary and Martha, so it will be for us. Our joy is in him, and he will complete it when he wipes away every tear from our eyes. Amen. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. En tad yr hynoedd yn y nefaith, sancteiddia dy enw, deled dy'r nas gwnela dy wyllus, megis yn y nef, fechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyna ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion, fel y maddewn ni na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth, eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis eitho ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. Lord, as you love us, help us to love one another. Give to your church a burning zeal, and keep us ardent in our spirits. May we ever rejoice in the hope you have set before us, through Christ our living Lord. Amen. In the intercessions which follow, the versicle is Lord of Glory, and the response, Grant us your peace. So when I say Lord of Glory, the response for you is, Grant us your peace. Lord, we pray for unity and peace in your church. Increase our fellowship with one another and our openness to others. Give us the courage to proclaim the saving power of the cross. May your church help to bring reconciliation and peace in our world. Lord of Glory, grant us your peace. We pray for peace in our hearts, for peace in our communities, for peace in your world, that as much as is possible, we may live at peace with all people. We pray for peacekeeping forces for the United Nations. We pray for the police and probation services. We give thanks for all peacemakers. We pray for all who offer your peace to your world. Lord of Glory, grant us peace. May our homes be places of peace and love, homes of holiness and hospitality, homes of harmony and of unity. May we learn acceptance and forgiveness through our loved ones. Let us not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lord of Glory, grant us your peace. We pray for all who are not at peace, for people of broken homes and broken relationships. We pray for the broken-hearted and the broken in spirit, for places where there is a breakdown of peace or well-being, for all who are being destroyed by hatred or revenge, remembering all who have suffered from the violence of others. Lord of Glory, grant us your peace. Lord, when you come in your glory, make us to be one with you, with all our loved ones and the saints who are at peace in your presence. Lord of Glory, grant us your peace.
My soul.
may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.